In this segment, we're going to place a focus on the war in Israel and the impacts of the continuing attacks by Hamas, which started, of course, back on October 7th. As the war has progressed, so has the humanitarian crisis in Israel. Fear, uncertainty, hunger, now part of daily life for those forced to stay in their homes or in their bomb shelters, literally and figuratively. My next guest heads an organization that's partnered with evangelical churches in Israel to give comfort and assistance to the Israeli victims of the war. He is the president of the Slavic Gospel Association, Michael Johnson. Thanks for being here today, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you so much for having me.
And learn more about the work of the Slavic Gospel Association. And after you hear us describe it in detail, what they are doing under certainly challenging circumstances now more than maybe even before, and you'll want to help in their work, SGA.org. And, of course, we do have that on our homepage. I guess that's a great place to start, Michael. You've had Operation Going Connections in Israel for some time. Has it ever been as challenging as it sounds like it is right now?
No, it hasn't. But for us, you know, our ministry was established back in 1934 by an immigrant from Belarus by the name of Peter Danica. And so the focus of our work has been in the Soviet Union for many years before the wall came down. But in the mid-1940s, we established a ministry of training and church planting in Israel. And so we have a long connection to Israel. And so a number of years later, about 15 years ago, we ramped up our activities in Israel in partnership with a group called the Israel College of the Bible, where we're training Russian Jews who have come to faith in Christ and then sending them out to do church planting and ministering to people throughout the country. Because right now, it's estimated that roughly almost a third of the population of Israel are either Russian or of Russian descent. And when the war broke out between Russia and Ukraine, I was in Israel, and I was traveling with the pastors and the church planters that we support over there. And they were connecting with the refugees that were coming in from Ukraine, helping them, getting them situated, finding them places to live, and getting them jobs, and so on and so forth, and basically helping them in sort of the reorientation of what life is like in Israel. And so they continued to maintain contact with these people. So when this particular war broke out, the majority of these Ukrainian refugees are in the southern part of the country, primarily around the city of Ashkelon, which is really ground zero right now in terms of the bombing and the missiles. And so they're able to reconnect with these people because they went really from, the war in Ukraine to now they're in the middle of a war in Israel. And they're scared. They don't know what's going to happen to them. They don't have a lot of connections in the country. And so the churches are really stepping up and courageously going out in the midst of all this missile fire, connecting with these people, delivering food, building relationships with them, helping them with medical supplies if they need it, all the basic humanitarian needs, but also helping them spiritually. And it's opened up a lot of great conversations about the gospel, and that many people are responding very positively to the message of Jesus in Israel. So we're connected to a large network of churches over there, and we're distributing humanitarian aid from the southern part of the country to the northern part of the country through this church network. And again, we have access to almost a third of the population of Israel as a result of that.
Absolutely incredible work when you consider the hurdles and the canyons that are being created in front of what had been probably a pretty streamlined process. And looking over at the website, SGA.org, you have some really heart-wrenching stories, too, about some of the church leaders in Israel and what they're doing to overcome all the obstacles that they have to face. And they're still, it's not just a meal here, a meal there. I mean, there are some stories that they're telling how they're getting hundreds of meals out every day, which is unbelievable.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, these are very determined and creative people when it comes to this kind of thing. And there are a number of pastors and church planters in the Ashkelon area, again, which is ground zero, and they've been able to move their families north to more safer areas, and then they just turn around and go back down to those areas. And, in many cases, a couple of the guys, the missiles had hit their apartment buildings, and they're having to deal with that as well. But every day they're going out. I mean, they're going out, they're getting the food, they're getting the resources, putting it together in packages, and then and just going out, getting in their cars, driving around, knocking on doors, ministering to people. And typically a food packet would last maybe a family of two, maybe four, 10 days or so. And then they'll come back in another week and a half or so with another food packet and continue to minister to them, make sure they're okay, and pray with them and minister to them both, physically as well as spiritually. And they're fearless, and they're very creative. And, the funds that we transfer over go directly to them, and they're able to take those funds and procure the resources that they need to minister to these people as they visit them on a regular basis. And that the list of people that they're ministering continues to grow as the conflict goes on, because this thing is going to go on for a long time.
There's no doubt about that. And further into the streets, as we're watching on a daily basis, talking with Michael Johnson, president of the Slavic Gospel Association, SGA.org, their website, learn more about what they are doing in Israel and elsewhere, where there are a great deal of people facing, to say the least, significant challenges in just daily survival. SGA.org, and you were listening to Issues and Ideas. Is there a concern that fear keeps people from seeking the help that the churches you are supporting and connected with are offering?
Fear of being getting caught up in the conflict, or fear of Christians?
More like fear of the stepping forward. I mean, I'm in my hiding place. I'm safe. Yeah, I'm starving, but yeah. I'm safe. And no one knows where I am. They can't get to me if they don't know where I am. But if I go out there, that might be all done and over and done with.
Yeah. I think that would accurately describe the situation. Because again, I mean, these people, they spend their time in their apartments and then in their bomb shelters, all day long, back and forth. And that's why, the network of churches that we're connected to, because they had those original connections when these people first came to the countries as refugees. They know who these people are. They know where, those communities are, because they helped them get situated. So they're connected to hundreds and thousands of Ukrainian refugees in Israel right now. Where they can seek them out, knowing that they're struggling and knowing that they've been holed up in their apartments for days and days and days, not being able to leave, go out and get basic resources like food. They're able to find them and then minister to them, again, both in word and deed. And they're brave, they're courageous, they're just a tremendous witness for the gospel to these people.
Is that a conflict, too? Do you hear from people? Because whether you agree or disagree with a belief system or a process, people in need, people in trouble, they should be responded to. You should put your disputes to the side. If it could be that simple, maybe we won't be even having this war right now, but that's, can't even get a bill passed in Congress to make get help to where it's needed. But, yes, I mean, we'll get that in the next segment, by the way. But how do you overcome someone who objects to, and even the law of Israel, you can't distribute food and prophesize, if I understand correctly. Mm-hmm. So there's an added hurdle that these churches are facing. Not that I'm saying that if Israeli officials ever found out about a specific church, they would come down on them because their priorities are elsewhere, I'm to be sure right now. Mm-hmm. But just so many under the radar challenges. It's going to be an awesome effort to overcome all that.
Well, I mean, for us, When the war broke out in Ukraine, you know, we're an equipping ministry. We equip churches for ministry. We don't send missionaries over. So we're connected to roughly 2,500 churches in Ukraine. So the day that the war started, we essentially executed the same strategy there. And so we were able to get funds and food to these churches that were ministering to these people in Ukraine, particularly people that were trying to move from the eastern part of the country to the western part of the country and get out of the country. So so these churches kind of set themselves up so people could come, you know, spend the night, get ministered to, you know, get fed, you know, sleep in a warm place, and then they would get in their cars and they would just keep driving until they were able to leave the country. So that was the initial effort, but we continue to raise funds, and we're also transporting food into Ukraine that's being distributed through the churches. So the churches are our arms and legs on the ground when it comes to this. And people appreciate that because obviously there's people talk about corruption and all this other stuff with a lot of the aid that goes to these countries. But because it's going through the churches, people have a sense of confidence that it's going to get to the people that need it the most.
Exactly.
So there is a word indeed element to this, because for churches, you know, they have a tremendous passion for meeting the physical needs of these people that have lost everything, that have absolutely no hope. But in doing so, you know, they feel people just start to ask him questions. Why are you doing this for me? You know, why have you stayed behind while everybody else has left to minister to us? And they just basically, it just opens up an opportunity to tell them that they're Christians and this is what God has called them to do. And so it's a natural, you know, transition from, you know, we're here to meet your physical needs, to the reasons we're doing it is because we're believers, you know. So, and that's what we're seeing in Israel as well, and the stories that we're getting back, because people always ask the question, "Why are you here? Why are you doing this for us?" And so, you know, it's the love of Christ.
Exactly.
It's the church being the church.
And for you,
it's being.
Yeah. And for you listening, SGA.org is a website that has two immediate benefits for you. First, you'll see what the Slavic Gospel Association is doing in places like Israel, Ukraine, and elsewhere, where troubles are. And a lot of the churches that they are connected with are in the more economically challenged areas in their specific countries. And also, when you go to SGA.org, along with the what, through the stories that are relayed from these places, these locations, you'll understand better the why the work has to be done and needs to be supported in every way possible, and that's where you come in. If this is a cause that you feel your heart reaching out for, here's one of the ways you can directly help the people who are being impacted by horrific situations in Israel, in Ukraine, elsewhere, but we're focusing on Israel in this particular conversation. You can learn more about the work and the ways to help the work of the Slavic Gospel Association at their website. Again, it's sga.org. We've been speaking with their president, Michael Johnson. Michael, you're bringing the attention to the human side of this equation, which in the rapid-fire news coverage, we don't get enough of. And hopefully the words you say today will resonate with as many, not just ears, but hearts and souls as possible. Thanks for the work that your organization does. And thank you very much for being here today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.